Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hello, everyone. You're listening to the latest Flyers Talk podcast. I am Jordan Hall, and as always, I am joined by the wonderful Brooke Deshra. And Brooke, if that was not the unofficial final nail in the coffin for the Flyers, I'm not sure what it will be. A 9-3 loss to the Canadiens. By far the worst loss of the season, Brooke, would you agree? The most embarrassing loss. The worst loss of the John Tortorella era through 2 years.
It was absolutely terrible. It was the worst game that I've watched in recent memory. And it was, I remember sitting there last night and going, you know when you would get in trouble as a kid and your parents would be like, I'm not mad, I'm just disappointed. Yeah. Well, I was also mad. So
a little bit of both.
It was just, there was so much frustration watching last night's game because you really thought, like, maybe there was a chance, you know, if you win out and all these other teams that are in the push have more difficult schedules, mm-hmm. like, instead of digging their grave, maybe they put down the shovel for a night and then you have this opportunity to just kind of be like, okay, maybe it will come down to the last game of the season, which I wholeheartedly believed it would until last night. Last night was the nail in the coffin. There's like, what? You said it was like a 1.8% chance of making the playoffs after the loss last night. Mm-hmm. It was terrible. And you can look back at this entire season. I have been so glass half full, optimism, hope, joy, hooray. At one point, you just have to be like, this is unacceptable. It's a terrible collapse. You held a playoff position for months and you can't sustain it the last 2 weeks of the season. It's just, it was so unbearable to watch last night. Everyone's lucky that we had the pod today. Otherwise it would not have been something I paid attention to.
all very fair, Brooke. I mean, for so much of this season, they had gotten away from the theme of the past three seasons. Like, you know, they were more positives than negatives. I really thought they avoided mind-boggling losses that you kind of scratched your head and questioned everything that they're doing. Mm-hmm. This was a loss that reminded me so much of the past three seasons, particularly the past two, that made you question everything in the organization. That's how bad it was. And, Brooke, it really makes you wonder, like, the team responding to its head coach. I mean, John Tortorella's gotten a lot of quality responses from this team. We've commended them for responding to bad losses and not letting these bleed into the next. He has exhausted everything, and there just has not been a response. And, I mean, he's tried nurturing them. He's tried ripping into them.
Yeah.
And it just has not worked, and it makes you really wonder about everything. It's hard to believe they've gotten to this point. I didn't think they would have a loss like this, especially considering the circumstances where – you would expect urgency and everything.
It was terrible, and I think that's my word of the day. It was terrible. But they let in that goal just a little over a minute in, and I sat there and I was like, here we go. It's a loss. Did I expect it to be the extensive 9-3 loss? No. Obviously, every single game, every point is the same. They're still not getting 2 points. It's still just one regular loss. But in the grand scheme of it all, when you're on a 7-game losing skid against teams, and we are going to look at this because I can't fathom the fact that they didn't win a single game during this stretch. It's embarrassing. It really truly is. And I saw on social last night that somebody was like, oh no, the Flyers realize they can still sneak in a 10-game losing streak this season. And I don't see them winning another game this year. Yeah, I think they lose out, and that is just a terrible way to go given how exciting, how much hope this team gave you in the beginning of the year, to now everybody's completely pivoted and they're like, what is the point of pushing when the entire team looks gassed?
Yeah.
They really do, but it doesn't just fall on the players right now. It's top to bottom in the organization. You know, it's everybody is at fault right now. And yes, it is a rebuild. Yes, they're not straying from the path, which is the biggest conversation this whole year. However, when you get so close to the playoffs, and yes, sure, it's great experience for these younger players who have never played important, meaningful games in March and April. Well, you know what? When you're losing games like this so terribly, again, the word of the day, what experience are you getting?
Yeah.
If you're not fighting, if you're not putting in an effort, if you're not trying to close the deal and make that push to the postseason, it's not good experience if you're losing out like this. It's just leaving a sour taste in your mouth, and it's annoying everybody who's rooting for this team.
And John Tortorella even said, no, kind of screw that whole narrative of we shouldn't be here. No, they are here. So these games do matter. They matter now. It's very easy to fall back on the narrative of, yeah, they are rebuilding and they've overachieved up to this point, but these games simply do matter now, and to see them handle it like this, without a doubt, is disappointing. I think they got the hopes up of some fans. I think there's going to be a section of fans that will understand the big picture and didn't expect them to be here, but there's going to be a large portion that we're hoping that there will be playoff hockey in Philadelphia again, mm-hmm. and that this team would actually follow through on this surprise season. And now it's just coming to a crashing halt. Brooke, this for me was the first time that I really wondered about John Tortorella's job security. And
yeah.
I think his job is safe. I think the Flyers are not going to let this 8-game skid define how they feel about Tortorella and how he's done. I think they're going to look at the much larger sample size of this season and last year and developing mm-hmm. young players. But, I mean, these are losses that can get coaches fired. I've seen it before. I mean, Alain Vigneault got fired after a 7-1 loss to the Lightning at home. It was their 8th straight loss. Like, when Dave Hackstall, when he was fired, they were getting blown out in a 4-game road trip. Like, blowout loss after blowout loss, and it became time. When teams are facing this adversity and they're facing losing streaks and they're facing outside pressure, that's when you really want to see a response.
Yeah.
And when you see blowout losses, it makes you question everything. It makes you question if players are still responding to the head coach. And last night was, without a doubt, the first time where I really thought, wow, does he still have this team a little bit? Are guys still responding to his message? Because I think he has tried everything. I've seen desperation from him. I've seen him light into the team. I've seen him back the team. I've seen him try to, you know, kind of be passionate and rally them. I've seen him be positive when you think he's going to rip into them. It seems like he's tried everything. I want to say it. I think he's fine. I think his job's safe. But it was the first time where I was like, wow, I'm not quite sure.
Yeah, I mean, you get to the point where, again, you're looking at this losing skid and you're thinking, okay, like, it's one thing if the team kind of plateaus. You know, it's been a long season. Every single game has been hustling, grinding out. That's why they held a playoff spot for as long as they did this year. So, you know, you can open up the debate of, okay, like, they're just cooked. Like, they are tired. They are done. Like, there's nothing left in the tank. But it's also, I feel like they've had the most spaced out schedule the past 2 weeks that they've had all season. Yes, yeah. They had the one back to back, but I mean, they have rest and recovery days, and you kind of get to the point where it's like, it's not even plateauing. They reverted. Like, we went backwards so many steps the past 2 weeks because of the teams that they played, because of how terribly significant these losses were. And I was on the same page with you. I still feel like Tortorella's job is secure right now. But after last night, again, it's a top to bottom in the organization, like, issue and conversation that needs to be had right now. However, yeah, last night was the first night where I was like, something is not clicking between the coach and these players right now.
Yeah.
It's really interesting, and I know that it could be a coincidence, but we go back to the Sean Couturier benching, and we look at the record that they've had since then, and he's been out for a handful of injuries and everything as well, but they're 2-6-3 since the initial benching, and you almost want to think, like, I don't think that he's lost the locker room, but I do also think, to an extent, that benching didn't sit right with people in there, because he is the captain, he is the face, he's the longest tenured player in the organization. And I don't know. It's just it's really interesting how things line up time wise. But yeah, it's just top to bottom, it's just been such a disappointing 2.5 weeks of hockey when there was so much hope. Like, I was really excited for a playoff push this year, even if it was just the first round. Okay, fans were so excited. They were really, really, like, giving in to this organization. They were back. They were locked in. They wanted to cheer for this team, and it was like, no, we're going to crash and burn in the most dramatic, extensive fashion.
Oh. Ugh. with the Couturier, no, Brooke, with the Couturier angle, I mean, we debated that. I remember writing, this might be his boldest decision yet as head coach of the Flyers, because it came at such an important time to such an important player, a guy that is beloved in the locker room, extremely well-liked. Players look up to him, the way he plays, and, of course, having the C on his jersey now. That was a bold move at a bold time where they, you know, they weren't exactly falling apart as a team. I mean,
no, they weren't.
Like, they were still very much in the driver's seat. And they had not played well since then. I wonder if that is just one factor, Brooke, into this. And we're going to look at plenty more factors coming up here.
Yeah.
Celebrity cook Steve Martorano brings his Italian-American cooking back home to Philly. Enjoy Martorano's Prime at Rivers Casino and Steve's famous meatballs with Sunday gravy, prime steaks, and more. Make reservations for Martorano's Prime on Open Table. Brooke, in your eyes, what else has gone wrong? I'm sure we could probably say everything. For me, I look in net. They have two rookies there that I think are just showing their age. Samuel Erison has played too much. Ivan Fedotov just got here and hasn't played.
Yeah.
And I looked at it the other day. They have the second largest shot differential in the league. Only one team is out shooting opponents more than them in the NHL, and it's the Hurricanes. But they are 31st in save percentage. So they are out shooting their opponents with the best of the best.
Yeah.
But then they are getting the second to worst save percentage in the league from their goalie. So I really think they have had times where they've outplayed teams and then they just haven't gotten saves. And I'm not blasting Samuel Erison.
No, not at all.
It's a tough spot. I think he's worn down. But I do think it's a team that, what Tortorella said the other day was accurate, a perfect storm.
Yep.
They are fighting it offensively. They have zero confidence. They're giving up goals at a crazy clip, and it's creating these blowout losses that make you wonder what the heck is going on.
Yeah, and it really is unfortunate with the whole Samuel Erison situation, because I don't put a lot of the blame on him. I think that we expected him to play maybe half of what he has this year before all the Carter Hart situation unfolded, and he was thrown into, you are the starting goalie. And yes, he's a rookie, but he's a professional athlete. So you're like, okay, but he's ready for this. He's geared for situations like this. He's going to lock in and be fine. Sometimes it's not like flicking a switch. It's not that simple. So yes, he has struggled, but also he bailed this team out time and time again for such a long period of time that, again, I just feel like we're in a situation where it's showing the fact that he is a rookie. It's showing the fact that I think the whole team is just tired. I think they are exhausted. And yeah, it's also really unfortunate with Fedotov when there was so much hype and shock that he finally had this opportunity to come over. And it's like, hey, kid, into the fire as well.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like it was brought into like this prepped and primed perfect situation for him to come in and be like, all right, we're going to back you up. Like he saw, you know, he's stepped in for Ayerson twice halfway yeah. through games. It's really been a mess. But I also don't sit here and place blame on either of them, really, because they've done so much. Like, they've done all that they can. And they're not getting, like, a free pass either. Obviously, you know, you let in a couple loose goals. But also when you're not defending in front of your goaltender and you're leaving them out to dry, which is not a conversation that we've had a lot this year.
Mm-hmm.
It's been one of the biggest issues over the past couple weeks. And last night defensively was not pretty.
No, not at all. And I think it's just clear as day. They've missed Carter Hart. And Hart's been away from the team since January 23rd because of the Hockey Canada sexual assault case. And I don't think anyone knows when or if he'll play for the Flyers again. And it's just crazy how real suddenly we thought the Flyers had an answer in net, and now all of a sudden that position, arguably the most important position in the game, is like one of their biggest question marks again.
Who cursed the team with goaltending? That is the only thing that I want to know. Who did what to annoy the hockey gods that said Philadelphia will never have solid goaltending for more than half a season? forever.
You want to find that person,
I want to find that person, and I have questions I need to ask them. They're not nice questions.
Maybe they're here at Rivers Casino.
Are you?
Yes, exactly.
Oh my gosh. It's so insane that you finally think, and we were so excited the first half of this season because we were like, we have goalie one and we have goalie 1A. This is great. We have this dynamic duo that nobody else in the league has. Like other teams can rely on their starting goalie, but the backup goaltending situation across the league is kind of eh.
Mm-hmm.
Not that we took it for granted. I was very thankful for it. But it is still so dang frustrating.
Yeah.
Cannot catch a break. Who annoyed the hockey gods? Who did it?
And now you have these massive questions in my mind going into the offseason about goaltending. Like, is Samuel Ayerson, is he a number one? Can he be your guy? Do they rely strictly on the youth that they have in net? Do they have to go out and maybe grab someone with more experience and kind of become a tandem?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, look what's happened with two rookies in net. They have fallen off considerably, and it's created a lot of big questions. And those are just questions in net. I think there's a lot of questions elsewhere too, Brooke. Brooke, in your eyes, does this finish, does this collapse totally overshadow what they did in the first four and a half months of the season? How do you balance not losing perspective on that, but also not excusing them for having this type of finish?
Yeah. Again, I feel like this whole season I've been very much so glass half full, trying to find the positives in all of this and all of the excitement and all of these situations. But you kind of have to step away and look at a broader perspective,
mm-hmm.
in the sense of the whole slug this whole year is it's a new era of Orange. And this past 2 weeks, we got the same dang Flyers team that we have seen year in and year out for the past handful of seasons. So it's not a new era.
Yeah.
It's not, because they're building up hope and then they're disappointing when it matters most in the late March, early April into a playoff push situation. It's almost exactly what we have dealt with for the past, you know, handful of years, really since the last time they made a playoff push. It's just that it was deferred a couple months.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like, oh, they crashed and burned like until the end of the season, but we're here and it's the same thing that's happening. It's just a little delayed than what we've been used to.
Yeah.
So it's, I mean, if anything, you just kind of assess the team as a whole and see who is fighting tooth and nail still to want to be a part of the rebuild moving forward. I think if anything, you get more answers than questions at this time of year of, okay, we were kind of on the fence about this person throughout this player throughout the season. Maybe we do make the effort to move them now this off season and kind of you can't have a full rebuild and a playoff push and you want like be cup contenders in the same season. You know, you get to the point where it's like, okay, what if we just give in to the full rebuild now and reassess in the off season and see what happens next year? Because that's what we're left with right now is who's going to be here next year? Who still wants it? Who's still fighting until the last horn sounds, the last game of the season at home against Washington?
Yeah,
that's all we got.
I think they were very much, like you said, Brooke, looking for answers at this time of year. And unfortunately for them, they're getting answers through failure and a collapse. But without a doubt, I think they're evaluating closely to figure out who's going to be a part of this, who's not. And perhaps they're getting some difficult answers. And perhaps they're realizing that, yeah, they're further away than maybe they thought.
Yeah.
It's crazy because, yeah, the first 4.5 months, everyone's thinking, man, this might be expedited a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then this happens and they're finishing somewhat close to what they did last year. They've gotten better from, you know, wins and points standpoint. And I think we're seeing more youth this year and guys that look like they're going to be big pieces. But, yeah, there's still a litany of questions that really, yeah, have you kind of scratching your head going into the offseason of how they're going to treat the offseason and how they're going to treat next year expectation-wise.
That's all I got.
Yeah.
I just, for the year that we have had, first of all, I don't think any podcast that we have had this season was what we had expected. And I know we still, we got a week left? Whoopee.
You're not excited for the final two home games, huh?
I'm really not. And it's so upsetting.
Wayne Simmons, Saturday.
That's true. That's true. We'll see the Wayne train on Saturday.
Just trying to get her spirits up.
Whoopee. No, I love Simmer, so yeah. that'll be really great. I'm glad that the Flyers are honoring him. Whoopee with an exclamation point. But it's just this, the entire theme of this season really was expect the unexpected.
Yeah.
You never know when it's going to happen. There was so much news and not drama, but off the ice this year that every single game, every single week, it was something new.
Yeah.
And if we were talking about this leading up to training camp in September, I would have thought you're nuts. You're nuts. I really thought at this point in the year, we'd be like, all right, draft lottery. Woohoo. Will they get, you know, a top 10 draft pick? That's what I thought that this year was going to be. That's what I thought the whole second half of the season was going to be. All right, we're looking ahead. Who's going to be a good trade chip? Who's moving at the trade deadline? No, it's been a roller coaster from start to finish. And I just don't think that this season was what anybody expected going in across the board in terms of performance, the trades, the goaltending situation, top to bottom. It's just, what a year.
I know.
What a year.
I thought progress, realistic progress would be, quite frankly, avoiding these types of losing streaks, like losing streaks that flirt with the number 10. They had had three of those.
They're going to get there.
Of those before this. They had a 13-gamer, a 10-gamer, a 10-gamer. They had a 10-gamer last year under John Tortorella. I thought progress this year would be implementing more youth, trying to find positives of players taking, you know, serious strides, and being more competitive, avoiding these types of losing streaks. And gosh, for 4.5 months, they were doing that. And it's just, yeah, I think without a doubt, it's unfortunate, but it really puts a damper on this season because I thought there was progress, but I think it's got a lot of people thinking, man, this is the old Flyers. These losing streaks should not happen.
Yeah,
they've really been outscored 42-18.
Yeah, that's terrible.
In this losing streak, really 42-18. I mean, that's
bad.
Those are blowouts. And I mean, Brooke, as you mentioned, to teams that they should be beating, people that we thought they had gotten past in terms of they are better than this team.
I think the best way to explain it is if the Flyers even stayed at hockey 500 through this stretch, they would have been in the postseason.
Yeah.
They would have made the playoffs.
Yeah, they just needed
to
survive.
They dug their own grave.
Yeah.
And they let the other teams in the East dance on it.
Yeah.
And it's really, it's embarrassing when you sit here and you see these teams that are just pushing and fighting with everything that they can to make the postseason. And the Flyers are just like, ooh, we're falling off a mountain. Oh, no.
Yeah.
That is where we're at. And yeah. I am angry. I am disappointed. I am sad. And I am frustrated because I thought we were having the playoffs this year.
Yeah.
I miss playoff hockey in Philadelphia so much. And it looks like we're going to have to wait at least one more year.
No, I think there's a lot of fans out there that will echo your sentiment, Brooke. And listen, I commend them. Another storyline here. I commend them for trading Sean Walker and focusing on the future there. I think he was very valuable to this team.
Yeah.
I don't think he's that good that the team breaks without him.
So
they can't fall on that too much. I think he was an important player, and I think he's very good. Better than we thought. But again, he should not have the Flyers playing like this. And,
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
they've dealt with adversity, but yeah, I think people were hoping they would handle it better here. A ton of questions going into the offseason, Brooke, as they kind of stumble to the finish line.
Deja vu a little bit.
But, Brooke, we'll have it all covered here on the Flyers Talk Podcast. Still three games to go. They're at MSG. And then a couple home games. We'll see if they matter at all or if it's really just going to be kind of playing out the string and focusing on Wayne Simmons Saturday. But, Brooke, thank you so much for joining me.
You're welcome.
Despite the Flyers playing the way they are, it's always good to see your face, always good to chat with you. A big thank you to Ben Berry, our podcast producer and guru. And Flyers fans, of course, as always, thank you so much for listening to the latest Flyers Talk podcast. We were live at Rivers Casino in Philadelphia. Wherever you get your podcasts, please rate and listen. And we cannot wait to talk to you next time.